Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread!
Detroit Kool-Aid. Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers, what's going on, everybody? You are listening to the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. I'm your host, Derek Oakley. Drink it in, man. Side of cornbread.
Cornbread!
Make it a double.
Cornbread!
And I am here talking Detroit Lions. So much to get into. We've got preseason game 2 in the books. More Hard Knocks episodes. We've got Kool-Aid drinkers continually calling the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast hotline, which is 989. 272-3484. We've got updates on Jameson Williams. We've got so much to get into today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do quick news and notes where I'm going to rapid fire, give you some takes, try to entertain you. We will talk some Hard Knocks and about the game against the Colts as well as the inter squad practices that they had as well. So let's not mess around. Let's get right into it and get rolling. And the first topic, the most important topic to me, is Jameson Williams, a.k.a. J-Mo. Like, you guys know I would have took him in that spot when Brad Holmes made the aggressive move to trade up. You know I've been consistently saying this kid's going to be electric when he hits the football field, and I still definitely believe that. Unfortunately, I said here on the show that I thought he'd be ready earlier and maybe they were playing the old okey-doke. Well, word came out just before I got recording that J-Mo is on the NFI with non-football injury list. You know, yes, he did get a football injury, but he was in college. So they're able to put him on this list, and it only keeps him out a minimum of 4 games. So, you know, there's the DB. You guys know who he is out there, always rumoring innuendo, trying to pull up the dirt. You know, he's got him out over half the season. But, you know, the NFI list has 4-game minimum. So if all goes well, maybe they could get him up to speed, get him practicing in week 2 or 3, and maybe be back by, you know, 5-6, or I think the bye week is right there around week 7 or so when they jump off that bye week. So, you know, maybe you roll into the bye week with no J-Mo and you come out of it with him and you're just rolling after that. You know, you get this kid on the field and he starts making plays. I think that'd be exciting. But so I was a little disappointed. You know, I put that out on Twitter. You guys can find me at Derek Oakery. That's spelled DereKOKRIE. And, you know, most people were like, hey, good, I'm happy. You know, we don't need him right now. It's a long-term investment. You know, we don't want him to get hurt again. And I was like, I get it. I agree, but this guy's just a premier talent at a position that's fun to watch, that we want to see. Like, I don't like it when any NFL team, especially my Lions, sort of get the kid gloves out and just, like, you know, put somebody in bubble wrap, because this is football. You know, you could get hit on any play and get hurt. You could do what others have done and have non-contact injuries that are worse than when you get hit. So there's just so much that can happen. I feel like if he's ready to roll, he feels confident, you have to get him out there. Now, if he's not ready and they want to build him up, I'm cool with that as well. But don't get overly conservative and say you're basically going to shelf him for the whole year or three quarters of the season. if the kid feels right and wants to get out there. So, you know, I'm hoping for either a little bit before or just after the bye week. If it's mid-season, I'm definitely not crying a river, and I get what they're doing because I do think he can be a good, great player here for, you know, 5, 7, you know, even 10 seasons maybe if he lives up to his ultimate potential. So can't wait to see number 9, Jameson Williams out there for our Lions. Let's keep this rolling rapid fire style. Romeo and Josh Pascal on the PUP list. I did not like hearing this. I don't know what's going on with Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Like, nobody knows where he is or what he's doing. Like, there's no updates on his progress for rehab. I don't think he's really ever seen at the facility. You know, Dan freaking Campbell has said, you know, certain people heal faster, slower, whatever it may be. Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, is this guy close? Is he in the weight room? Is he struggling and not doing well? We have no idea. And Josh Pascal, to me, is the real bummer because this kid's a very gritty, grimy football player, somebody that you could move all around the defensive line. And to not have him for, again, I believe that PUP list is going to put him out the 4 games minimum. And, gosh, that's just frustrating because I can't wait to see this guy in a Lions uniform. I know he's getting a lot of hate from people because they haven't seen him and he's already injured, but sometimes it happens, man. What if he just comes right back out and he's a very strong, physical, nasty football player like we've wanted for a long time? You're going to love this guy. So, you know, those were two other news notes that came out. Sean Dion Hamilton, one of the great names in all of sports, was let go by the Lions. This was a guy that last year was getting tons of buzz, and people were like, man, this guy's going to be on the team. He might be a starting linebacker. Then he gets injured for the entire season. This year, he's one of the early cuts. So I don't know what that says necessarily about the roster or that player in general, but, you know, all the best to Sean Dion Hamilton. I hope he does well, doesn't have to, you know, start working at the local bowling alley. You know, word came out that the Lions coaches weren't at practice the other day. Dan Campbell was there, kind of, twirling his whistle and walking around like he's coming down the ramp at a WWF Attitude Era show. But he was just there. No other coaches were there. You know why? Because the players ran an entire practice by themselves. I would have loved to see some tape on that and see how it went down, but word is it went well. They all managed it well. They pushed themselves. I mean, that's great to see because, and it's a great thing by Dan freaking Campbell and these other coaches because sometimes you have to sort of let people give them the chance to fail. And had they just sort of not shown up or said, all right, it's all you guys today, go do your thing, and the Lions have no clue what they're doing, or they look sloppy, or they have no leadership put in through practice, that's a big issue, in my opinion. So the fact that they took it, you know, on the took ownership of it and ran a good practice and seemed motivated, and the coaches seem happy, I like that a lot on both sides. The coaches having the confidence to let them do it, and the players stepping up to the plate and being able to do something like that. You know, there's not a lot of NFL teams that would do that or have that type of, you know, moxie to even propose it and to get it done at a high level. So I liked hearing that a ton. You know, I think even our guy Chops, he's not on the show this week, but he'd probably even have a hashtag or something for something like that.
Woo! Hashtag Choppy Likey.
And speaking of hashtag Choppy Likey, I put it out on Twitter as well. Deuce Staley saying we're chopping. Well, he went to the old chopping wood gimmick about how they're working hard. They want to change the culture. They want to get a winning thing, and they're just chopping at it, chopping wood. Like I put old at Chops in the D on that tweet and said he probably had a hashtag for it. So we like to play these goofy sound bites here on the show and make fun of him, especially when he's not on the show. And when he's on, I do it both times, to be honest. Let's see. Dan Campbell said that the starters are going to play in the first half for game three of the preseason. I mean, this was a shocker to me, to be honest. I don't know if I was more shocked by that or the fact that he's like putting Jared Goff in some type of bubble wrap, acting like everybody can play except Goff. We got to keep him good. Like if he gets hurt, our whole season's over, which is true because he's the quarterback. But I mean, it's also Jared Goff and his wobbly spirals, which he still hasn't shown me that he can throw. But it was just funny to hear Dan Campbell say, like, yep, starters will be out there, got to get their reps, got to bang themselves around a little bit, but not Jared Goff. I'm not letting him talk myself into it like he's some type of, golden goose, already putting him in Canton type of thing. But I get it. He's the quarterback. Can't lose our quarterback like a week and a half before the season gets rolling. But as I always say, okay, he doesn't get hurt in game three of the preseason. What if he gets hurt in game one or game four of the season? It's basically the same thing. So either play him or don't play him, you know what I mean? But it'll be kind of fun to see the starters. Let's hope Swift is fine. Let's hope we see a little DJ Chark. I don't know. Actually, I don't have the soundbite up. I haven't put it on the board yet. But you guys heard the DJ Chark drop. I got to get that on the board and get it rolling. The consensus that came back was they like the go DJ. It's my D. So I'm going to go with that one. I like that one too. Just nice and short and simple. I like it. People definitely got back to me and said they like the Hutch Billie Jean just beat. Just that beat. Like he's coming after the quarterback and he's coming around the edge with that funny music only. No lyrics. So we'll get those rolling for you as well. But, we'll see what happens with the starters. Hopefully they can put it together. Hopefully they can look sharp. But it's definitely a different approach we've been used to here and most across the NFL, just these garbage preseason games that are like, hey, NFL's on. It's not really NFL. It's pretty bad football to watch. And I get it. People are fighting for jobs and whatnot. But there's a distinct difference from when the Lions line up against Philly and those guys are playing four quarters and dialing everything up to when you're like halfway through the first series and you're like, what else is on? You know, this is just ridiculous. So we'll see about that. I mean, another golf note. This is for At Chops and the D as well. There was some video that came out on Lions.com, I believe it was, or maybe my YouTube feed. Who knows where all this stuff keeps popping up, the old Twitter machine, where it was Goff and some golfers. Here's another thing. I don't know if Tim Twentyman listens to the show, but every time I hear him say Goff, he definitely sounds like he's saying golf. And I know he likes golf, but does he like Goff? Or is he like Goff, but he thinks it's pronounced golf? I don't know. It makes me laugh every time that Twentyman does a show and he says the quarterback's name, and I swear he's saying Jared Goff. That's neither here nor there. So Goff was out with some golfers on this little, they got a little, par three chip hole or whatever at the old Rod Allen headquarters down there. And so they're chipping or they're giving tips. And then they made these golfers throw the football towards the pin. I don't know if there's some closest to the pin who can throw an actual spiral. Well, Goff was there. Again, spirals and golf. I mean, it doesn't quite go together. I don't know what's worse. It's probably his 9-iron or those wobbly ducks he throws out there. But then I just got a kick out of Jared Goff giving throwing tutorials. He was telling people where they had to put their finger on the ball, how they had to snap their wrist over. And I get it. You're an NFL quarterback. I get it. Dan Campbell says the best thing you do is throw the ball. But I still contend, even though I hope you do well, you're my quarterback because you're for the Lions, and I hope you ball out this year. Every highlight I see still seems to prove the fact that you can't throw. But I hope that changes. But watching him give tips of how to throw, knowing that he just has one of the more ugly passes, even when it gets there to Amon-Ra and Chark and Reynolds and hopefully J-Mo soon. Like, you know, he's basically like four out of every, eight in regards to spiral versus wobbler. If I had to, rate that 50% clip is probably where I'd put him. But enough about that. Let's talk about my other guy, Jerry Jacobs. Now, people are like, why are you talking about Jerry Jacobs? Nobody's heard about him. He's not practicing this, that, and the other. Here's the thing. So they put a couple guys on PUP, which I mentioned. JMO's on the NFI. They let go of Sean Dion. But they didn't do any of that for Jerry Jacobs. And to me, if you listen to the press conferences, as I do consistently, if you are all in on the Lions, which you know I am, serving up that Detroit Kool-Aid.
Drink it in, man.
And if you are just devouring cornbread.
Cornbread!
You would know that Dan freaking Campbell, I believe it was, the other day snuck out that, hey, you know, maybe you know, a Jerry Jacobs, for example, was ready, like, to practice in week one or two, but he's not ready to play yet. Well, we're going to pup him. And they didn't pup him. So I think Jerry Jacobs is farther along than we know at this point. And the fact that Will Harris is competing or might beat out Mr. Okuda, which I think is a bunch of garbage, play Mr. Okuda and see if we got a bum or a number three pick on our hands or somewhere in the middle would be even fine. But don't play Will Harris, please. Play him spotty. I mean, I was a Will Harris supporter when they drafted him. It took me about 2.5 seasons, and I was like, he can't play. He can't cover. He can't run. He's not even that great of a tackler. Like, it's been proven that Will Harris can't do his thing, right? So, you know, let Mr. Okuda play. But if Jerry Jacobs comes back and ball like he does last year, yeah, Okuda and William Harris might have to both be sitting the bench, you know, because that guy played great last year. And I love saying Jerry Jacobs is the man. So, you know, hopefully he can do that and keep the eye out, because they would have definitely pupped him if he's not ready, but they didn't. Let's go to some impact, quote unquote, my guys for this year and beyond that I just want to highlight before the season gets rolling, or guys to really focus on. And these aren't, I'm not going to dig for like the gunner on special teams for you, but these are guys that I think need to either take a step up or need to be a focal point, or are just big time players on this team that either are not shining in the preseason or whatever it may be. And the first one starts out with T.J. Hockenson. Like, they call him Hawk, which I think is better than Hawk. Like, I know Hawk is kind of the name and it's been said, but Hawk, because he was Iowa Hawkeye, is actually better than yelling out Hawk. Or you could just say the name the way I do, and it's much more powerful when you do it that way. But I think Hawk is going to have a really big season. I think this guy can take a big leap forward. I know there's a lot of other wide receiver weapons, and we have some nice running backs, but this is the year he needs to take the big jump and be a focal point both in the red zone and making bigger plays in the middle of the football field. I'm not talking about the six-yard catch it and fall down, or the out route where you catch it for, you know, 8 yards and run out of bounds. I'm talking about like 15-yard seam balls where he runs for an extra 10 or 20 after the play. I'm talking about routes in the red zone where he just cuts his guy up who's a linebacker or some scrub nickel corner and he's going to touchdown. Like, look for T.J. Hockenson to have a big year, and a guy that's sort of forgot about right now. You haven't seen him in the preseason. You haven't heard a ton about him at practice. I think he's still going to have a big-time year if he's used correctly. The next one, everybody's talking about this guy, DeAndre Swizzle. Swifty is talking about 1,000 and 1,000. He looks super silky, the limited action we see him, both either on the practice field or in games. He's motivated by Deuce. I think that he's got the chance to be, gosh, when you just look at his skill set and what he brings and his humble mentality and his ability to catch, run, accelerate, jump over people, you know, run through people with power, I don't see why he can't be like a top 8 running back in all of football. So that's my challenge to Swift, is to get to that level, and then we will gladly pay you. Even though you're running back, I think that we'd be able to pay him and hopefully keep him around. The next guy is Ife Melifonwu. You know, if he's a guy, he's been hurt, they haven't really seen him out there, they moved him to safety, you know, I don't really know what his role is, but I like his size, his physicality, and I think if he can be a really dynamic player on this team moving forward, but you just need to see it more, and I'm hoping that they find that role for him and he takes a big leap forward this year. The other guy I put down here quickly was Josh Pascal. I already kind of talked about him. I wasn't in love with him throughout the draft process, but I can't say I spent a ton of time on him either. But once the Lions took him and I dig into his tape, his character, his physicality, his interviews, it's like, I love this guy. I love everything about him as a football player, as a man, as a person, as a dog, a D-A-W-G, baby. Like, I can't wait to see this guy on the field. So Josh Pascal, when he gets out there and how quickly he can assimilate, I think is going to really be impactful for this team. Tracy Walker, you guys have heard me talk about T-Walk before. A lot of people down on him. A lot of people did like that he came back, and they liked the contract overall. About $8 million a year on a 3-4 year type deal. You know, don't mind that. But he needs to play better. He needs to get more turnovers. He needs to show up big time, and I'm really hoping he can do that. I love his dog mentality as well. I just need to see a little more blitzing, a little more physicality, playmaking, but he really seems to be taking on the leadership role, and he's got all the physical attributes you look for in a big, long, rangy, physical type safety that's not afraid of to tackle, or, you know, should be hopefully better in coverage now in his third or fourth season. So he's about four seasons for Tracy Walker. And the last name I put down was A.O.
Oh, baby!
That's right. A.O.
Oh, baby!
Now, this guy had a ball-out year last year. People were thinking maybe him and Mr. Hockenson would get paid this offseason. Neither did, at least not yet. You haven't heard a ton of great things about A.O. in practice. You know, you see him sort of get torched sometimes, roasted, toasted, and extra crispy in the games, the preseason games. But he's a nice, long athlete as well. Good character, good mentality. I'm hoping that AO can really lock up a spot as a starting corner for this team now and in the future. Then you don't have to go shopping for more corners right now. You don't have to deal with any of that. And I think he can put it together. He really found the football last year. And his length, he was a good college player. I liked him coming out in the draft. Like, there's no reason AO can't establish himself as like a CB2. On this type of team now and in the future. And I'm hoping he does that this year. So those are a couple of my guys, impact guys to watch as we get rolling. Gosh, everybody, like, I'm going to get our commercial sponsors in here and talk some Hard Knocks, some joint practices, as well as, you know, maybe what's to come for this Pittsburgh game. But I just want to tell everybody right now, like, start getting hyped for that Philly game. Like, you know, as long as we don't get any big injuries, this third preseason game is no big deal. But I want to start hearing from you on the Cooley Cast line, 989-272-3484, with season predictions, hot takes. I want to know where this tailgate is at, because I will be down there multiple times this season enjoying myself. So where's the tailgate? What are the eats? Who's serving up the Kool-Aid? Who's got the cornbread in the oven? Because we got to talk about our tailgate plans, where we're going to be, and hopefully you guys, as you've done in the past, come out and say what's up when we're down there. I know we love it when the listeners come by and say, oh man, we love the show, or man, you got some of the most funny, goofy gimmicks, but love talking Lions, love my Lions, you know, like, I love hearing all that when you guys come by. We'll throw the football, have some brats on the grill, and chop it up. No doubt about it. So tell me where it's at. Get hyped for that first game, because it's going to be here before you know it. And actually, I'm going to do this after the break. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to pick out just one text that I got to the Kool-Aid Cast line this week. And then we'll do the Hard Knocks, the joint practices, and anything else that comes to my mind, lines related. So everybody, please listen to our great sponsors, and I'll be right back. All right, everybody, this goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You could put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you, it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test
your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Kool-Aid drinkers, back from the break. Let me fill up that glass.
Drink it in now.
I appreciate you listening to the show, interacting, giving me those follows on Twitter, checking out the pod, sharing it with other people, hitting up the Kool-Aid hotline. I love all that. And speaking of that, I want to go to this guy. This guy, the reason I want to read this one is because he's given himself like 2 to 3 nicknames already, which I appreciate. Like Jim Rome does the no self gloss. Like the minute you give yourself a nickname, he runs you, or he just, you're never allowed on the show. I want people to have like 3-4 nicknames, 3-4 aliases. Like just give yourself some type of funny name when you text in, when you call in, create a persona. I love all that. So I had this guy actually saved in the old hotline here as C Mill from Wisco. I don't know if I gave him that or he gave himself, but as I'm looking at his text here, he's now AKA the Milkman. So we got C Mill from Wisco, aka Milkman, aka Chris from Wisconsin. And this one just made me laugh. So sometimes, like, I get all these questions about the Lions or, you know, these takes from people, but sometimes I just like to pick ones that either make me laugh or that's so outlandish. So the Milkman writes, you know, just wanted to note DeAndre Swift that maybe he can't see in the dark visor. He's like, I know it looks sweet and I try to put all my players in Madden in the dark visor, but maybe it's too dark. Maybe he shouldn't wear it. Now, Milkman, C Mill, Chris. First of all, you're from Wisco, so I don't know if this is a gimmick call, if you're some type of cheddarhead mozzarella. I don't think so. I think you're a Lyle Detroit Kool-Aid drinker Lions fan. But this is like, this is a bad take on so many levels. First of all, the dark, ultra jet black, can't see through it visor worn by Swift and other players in the National Football League is the swaggiest thing ever. I agree with you. Like almost every player should wear it. It's incredible. Like I love when Swift wears this thing with the black visor. It just looks so dang good. And the reason it looks good too on a running back is because there has to, I'm hoping, I know it's just swag and it's just like, you know, good look for him, but I'm thinking it's an advantage as well. Like the defense can't see you looking at where you're going to pick up the blitz. They can't see where you're maybe picking up where they might be coming from on a draw play. Like I'd definitely be rocking the black, but I don't want anybody to see my eyes if I'm a running back and see what I'm planning out before I go. So I think it's a smooth move by him on that level as well. Trust me. I know I say, should I yell it again? I guess I'll do it. Jared Goff, he can't throw. And then I said, you know, other people, you know, can't do this, can't do that. I just yell in the mic at times. But trust me, DeAndre Swift, he can see, okay? He can see the holes. He can see the football coming. There's no vision issues. If anything, Swift has got great vision on so many levels, and the black visor is ultra, ultra swaggy. So, Milkman, come on, man. Get it together. I don't know what you're doing with that question, but, you know, I challenge everybody to, as we get going with these season games, like, I know some people are still checked out because this is fake football, like I said, but I want questions. I want takes. I want jokes. I want aliases. I want funny songs if you want to send those in. I want gimmick drop. Like, if you want to call in and just do a bunch of our gimmick lines or some of the sound drops. Like, I don't know if you want to call in if they make a bad play and do a Pac-Man drop.
It was a bad decision, period, point blank. It was one of the dumbest decisions I ever made.
You could do that. I mean, if you want to come on and maybe, like, try to replicate the Million Dollar Man, that would be funny.
Money.
maybe when somebody gets paid, you call up and do that. I mean, if you want to do the AO drop, I love some of those.
Oh, baby!
If you want to call up and tell me this, you'll always get on the show.
Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks.
And if you call up and do a horrible call, I'll probably put you on so I can laugh at you and say this.
Who is this Rudy Poo?
So I know a lot of you like really loved the call-in show. We'll definitely hope to do more of those. Life is crazy busy and hectic with me and Choppy Chop there, but we'll try to do that, or maybe a solo one of those, or maybe one of my other guests, we can hook that up. But life is crazy right now, no doubt about it. Let's get into it. I'm having a little bit too much fun here, but let's talk some more Lions ball and some intangibles. Let's get into Hard Knocks real quick. I know all you guys watch it, so I'm not going to give a blow-for-blow rundown, but here's what I took from the latest episode. You know, Dan Campbell talking about why he's putting guys in pads first practice and why he cares about them so much. This is incredible, man. This is incredible leadership, and just shows how smart this guy is, man. He's not out there just banging their heads for no reason. He said the research shows you got to do this to build you up, to make you better, to get you ready. I would be doing you a disservice. I love all that. And the reason Dan Campbell is getting away with that, where Matt Patricia and his Hill and his running, which again, I admit my faults here on the show. When Matt Patricia was making people take laps for losing the football, I was like, good, you should take two if you ask me. When he's asking people to run the hill, I'm like, damn right, you better run the hill. This isn't the Caldwell Country Club where you just get away with everything and everything's just, you know, the old reverend is out there just telling you how great you are and you can't win any ball games. Like, I love some of that tough love, but the reason it didn't work is because Matt Patricia was a jerk and didn't have any swag or any, you know, they didn't have any buy-in with him when he started all that, where Dan Campbell's a real human being that people love. And so when he tells you to put your damn pads on and hit somebody, you know, it's for the best thing for the football team. So I loved all that, and that's why it's different. Dan Campbell, keep doing what you're doing with practices, and you know your team. Push them, but also know that they got your back. I have no question there. I mean, another thing I picked up, did we really need the David Blau, you know, Olympian wife story again? I mean, I know most national people didn't see that, but can we just scrub that and put more Dan Campbell or more Deuce or more AG or I don't know. Here's a thought. Maybe put Ben Johnson on the show ever. Like, I mean, he's only our offensive coordinator. Aubrey Pleasant is a hell of a lot more entertaining than seeing this again. And like I said on a previous show, David Blau can be everyone's neighbor. I'm sure he'd love to meet him at church in one of the pews. I'm sure him and his wife make a great batch of cookies at a local bake sale. You know, I got nothing against them personally. He's even played pretty well in these preseason games. But I don't need 30 minutes of Hard Knocks to be about her running and him playing bad third string quarterback and fumbling a game away for no reason. Like, come on, we don't need that, all right? Hey, here's another funny take or something to consider. Like, I've been loving up Deuce and saying Deuce is doing this, Deuce is doing that. I didn't realize until multiple tweets later that I'm spelling Deuce wrong. Like, everybody spells it D-U or D-E-U-C-E, I think. But when I looked it up or it popped up on my feed, it was like, oh, it's D-U-C-E. I don't know. Like, I was just thinking Deuces or whatever, but D-U-C-E, Deuce Staley. Gosh, he's been a star for me, man. I love everything he says. I love his cadence. I love when he's getting up in AG's grill, but I really liked this last episode where he was really trying to motivate DeAndre Swift. And I think he was doing all the right things. My question is Swift going to do it? Is he taking to it? Or is Swift such a humble, swaggy guy where he's just like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Like, I got you. When really, like, he's just going to be the same guy because we need a little bit different DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's got all the talent. We need the dog. We need the extra. We need a little bit more. We need to, you can't just say I'm going to get 1,000 on 1,000. Then you got to demand the football. You got to say, why is it the third quarter and I got four carries and two passes, you know, for no yardage? Like, let's get this changed. So he's going to have to be more vocal. He's going to have to be more demanding, but I love what Deuce is doing. He's a hell of a coach, and just him motivating DeAndre Swift was the big thing that jumped out to me. And yeah, I mean, it was just another great episode. You love seeing those things. We could have done without the old poor Detroit, and they're hard and gritty, and it's a city that's rising up from the, I mean, come on, that's old bit siren all day, every day, right? We hear that every show that's done ever. So we could get a little more creative, I think, in that realm. But yeah, just more Dan Campbell, please. More Dan freaking Campbell, because this guy, and I haven't played it in a while. I mean, if you got this as first press conference, could you imagine what else you get from him and others if you just put the camera on him a little bit more?
We're going to bite a kneecap off. We're going to smile at you. We're going to take your other kneecap. We're going to smile at you. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. We're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
And it starts this year. We're going to start taking hunks out of people, and eventually we will be the last one standing. You heard it here first. All right, so these joint practices with the Colts, first of all, like, I've never been there, but it did look like a cool kind of practice setup over there with the Colts. You got to walk through the forestry to get to practice. Colts are a good team. They got good guys up front on both sides. They got some good young receivers. Matt Ryan has always been a guy that can sling it around a little bit. Now, I thought he was basically done in Atlanta, but he seems to have a new breath of fresh air. I like him. I feel like he's a Matt Stafford type, where when it's open, he can make all the throws. The minute he gets pressured, or the heat, or the lights are brightest, he kind of crumbles a little bit, aka the Super Bowl and other times in his career. But I guess the big thing that came out of it was, like, the first practice, like, Pat McAfee, who I like, he's funny, he's great on everything he does, was at the practice, and this guy is going nuts, everything the Colts do, which, again, they had the camera, and yes, you could see them kind of roasting and toasting the Lions corners, but it's one-on-ones, it's routes on air, right? So he's going nuts, like, they won the Super Bowl, or they just the greatest team of all time, and I'm like, come on, man, these are routes set up for the offense or for, receivers and court, whatever it was, that they were showing. So I wasn't going crazy about it. You would have liked to see Mr. Okuda and company, put up a little stiffer fight. Alec Pierce was balling, Pittman, some of those guys. But so the Lions had kind of a rough day, was the word, day one, getting beat on a lot of things, getting beat in kind of 11 on 11 or those different, team drills that they did as well. But they had a real bounce back day two, which I think shows a lot about their character and the team itself. Mr. Kuda seemed to have a lot better day, word was. Receivers were making plays. I think there was the big thing that I took out of it was there was some like 12 play stretch during a team period where the Lions let no touchdowns in. And we're talking like these are short plays within the, inside the 20, the 10 yard line, whatever it is. And they're not letting in any touchdowns. They're not letting any first downs go. That's impressive. That really is, because that's another thing set up for the offense to dominate. So I think it was just good work, just good work for both sides. I think the Lions probably learned a lot from it. Anytime, I've always been a proponent of like the Lions will like practice against themselves, and you hear all those reports. Oh my gosh, Matt Stafford is just, the ball never hits the ground. He's the greatest player ever we've ever seen. Look at him winging around the yard. And then they go play like a joint practice, and Matt Stafford, really struggled today. He just didn't seem to be on his game. It's like, well, he was playing as better players in different environment where he doesn't know every defense or every call or every, you're not in the same routine, which all that, just shaking up the routine, changing up what they do is very important on so many levels. Cause you can go into week one against Philly and think, oh man, Philly's going to do this, going to do that. Like, they're probably going to do the exact opposite of what you think. So you need to start getting going with that, not getting some routine and rut that you're just beating up on your own team all day. And that's what's going to be like, come Philly at Ford Field, because it's not. And getting that intensity and getting people up in your grill, we saw lots of, confrontations. I don't feel like it ever got over the line per se, but Jamal Williams was getting after some linebacker and they had a Twitter beef. Like, to me, that was entertaining stuff, as guys going back and forth. You'll probably see a lot of that on episode 3 of Hard Knocks, but it's just good work for both sides, and hopefully the Lions got better from it. I know the Colts felt like they did well in their different areas, so it's all good, and then we go to this third preseason game. I'm not gonna spend a ton of time on it, but I'll just say Mr. Kennedy shows up again. I mean, I know that joke was online. It's really, he's a horrible wrestler too. I mean, you guys know I like my wrestling gimmicks. I've watched throughout my lifetime, but you know, Mr. Kennedy was horrible, you know, in every promotion he was ever in, but that gimmick line is still funny. And Vincent Kennedy McMahon has quit, and wrestling is changing for the better, it appears, because he had lost his touch and whatever at 70 some years old. But I mean, Mr. Kennedy for the Detroit Lions, Tom Kennedy, because he used the ball, man. The guy catches everything. He does everything. He looks like a hard worker. He's their go-to guy for every quarterback. I mean, I had buddies that were actually like, you know, and Twitter people just, oh, he's on the team. Oh, he's going to be the fourth receiver now. Oh, let's get to Tom Kennedy in the game. I had someone utter the phrase, Tom Kennedy's the preseason Cooper Kupp. I'm like, hold on. Hold up now. He's still Tom Kennedy. like, let's not get crazy, okay? Like, does he maybe make the bottom of this roster? It's going to be hard to not, the way he's putting up and producing and catching the football. But and I'm not loving on this guy like some people, that's for sure. But he's doing well, working hard. Give him that. He's the Lions preseason Rudy, as I called him, which I think was a much more apt comparison than Cooper Kupp. No names given of who may have uttered that or where their football knowledge is. But that made me laugh, no question. And let's see what else I got. What else do I have here on this preseason game? I thought we ran the ball really well. And by that, you know, I think it was like a 5 yards per clip. I also think that we just played solid. Like, I felt like midway through that game, I was just like, this feels like solid football to me. Just kind of like making the right plays. No big, terrible mistakes that were just really egregious. Just kind of doing our thing, scoring points, sometimes having to kick it away, you know. Actually, I don't think they kicked it away much. I want to say it was later in the game till they had their first punt. So they didn't really kick it away, but they had a few kicks and a few drives that stalled out and a few that found the end zone, mostly by Mr. Kennedy. Yeah, you guys know. the old trusty, come on, Craig. I mean, this guy, Craig Reynolds. I think I'm in love with Craig Reynolds. I really do as a football player, because come on, Craig, shows up every time he gets the football. He's so stout and bulky and just like a thick running back that always seems to get yards. People bounce off him with tackles. Just like, he makes no money. He's a great third string guy. He's a work hard guy. He's Coach Craig, I believe, on Twitter. So he loves the game of football. I love everything about this guy, man. He's a dang solid player on this team. Come on, Craig. I loved how they ended the first half. And when I say that, I like how they had a nice drive. I can't remember the yardage on it and whatnot, but they went all the way down there. They got down close. They sort of start clunking out. And then I want to say they had no timeouts and like 20 seconds left, and they ran the football. Kooky on so many levels, got like no yards, had to unpile everybody real quick. And then I think they ran the play with a live clock with like 3 seconds left or something. And that's when David Blau slang a high ball to the back shoulder that Kennedy just went up and snatched. I mean, he just snatched the football for a touchdown to end the half. It was great on so many levels. Dan Campbell going for it, them being able to actually get off their ass on the pile and get another snap off, and being able to throw this ball into tight coverage and get a touchdown. I loved everything about that. The other Kennedy play that I loved was just a beautiful throw from Tim Boyle, my boy. I guess he's not really my boy, but I did do that rant on the last show about how I like Tim Boyle better as a backup QB, just because he looks the part. He no longer wears the bonnet. He got himself a pretty fresh haircut. He says the right things, and he just seems to have more arm talent, in my opinion, than the hardworking, gritty, grimy Olympian husband, Mr. Mr. Blau does. I swear Blau and Boyle are like so confusing. They always seem to go together to me. But anyway, Tim Boyle threw a beautiful ball. I think he got offsides. The ref threw the flag, and he just sort of slanged this thing perfectly in the bucket to Canada for another touchdown, and that was nice to see. You know, Kirby Joseph had some concerning plays, just out of position or just tackles 20 yards down the football field. But Kirby actually tweeted me back because I told him that I didn't like that his Twitter handle was Kirby B. Joseph. Yeah, that's Kirby. That kind of ends with a B-Y. But then he has B in there, which I know is for his middle name, yet he reminded me that was the case. And then Joseph. You just need to be Kirby Joseph or Kerb Joseph or Ball. Like, and so I tweeted him out. I'm like, we got to get rid of this B, man. It's not swaggy enough. It's not good for your brand. He's like, B's my middle name, bro. Or I think I said, you know, we already know you're a Ball Hawk. And he was like, or it could be a B for Ball Hawk, which I liked. He's legit, man. He just seems like a cool dude that if I saw him in the street, you could chop it up and have some fun talking to Kirby Joseph, not Kirby B. I mean, it sounds like Cardi B, Kirby B, like, let's get rid of the B, okay? But Kirby Joseph struggled, but I do think he is a Ball Hawk, and he'll come into his own. But he seems to need a little bit more time than maybe we would hope at this point. And to finish it off, like, overall, I just thought this was I was just really glad and somewhat fortunate at the end of this game that they were able to get the W. Now, I know, you're going to say, but quote unquote, it's preseason, but, you know, you always hear that phrase from everybody, but nothing, you know what I mean? You choked the first game away. You needed to find a way to get this W, whether it be preseason, regular season, postseason, I don't care what kind of season it was. I wanted to get this win. So the fact that you were up, you let the other team go down and score again with basically no time on the clock, and then they went for two and you were able to get an incompletion and win the ball game. I was glad to see that because as much as it doesn't matter, it would have mattered to me if they would have got the 2 point. You would have got another last second loss to just add on to the tally that we've had to deal with as Lions fans. So a win was good. They need to learn how to win. Dan Campbell said the same. Winning's important. Learning to win is a skill. You got to build it up. I think I saw some clip that's going to be on Hard Knocks where he said, gotta get all this losing out, you know, got to be done with this, put it to bed. So I think that was a step in that direction to some degree. And everybody, I just want to hype you up that basically all the fake football is basically over. So it's time to get hyped. There's going to be lots of roster moves, unfortunately, lots of cuts for the Lions. Hopefully those guys either fall on their feet or, you know, end up coming back to the practice squad, the guys that can help this team down the road. But there will be lots of guys let go. Hopefully there'll be a couple sneaky pickups by Brad Holmes and Dan freaking Campbell. But we are getting closer to that home opener against Philly. Again, I want your tailgate spots. I want to know what you're eating. I want to make sure there's Detroit Kool-Aid being served across the board. I want to make sure there's some type of cornbread being put there because, I mean, do I even have to say it?
Drink it in, man.
Cornbread! Cornbread!
Everybody, that's all I got. I'll catch you next week right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. I'm out.
Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions.
Drink it in, man.